You may begin, sir.
Okie dokie. Well, hello and welcome to the Mandalorian review only on riotradio.ca with myself, Eldon Atkin, and
Evan Halbert. Hi.
And today we're talking about the chapter and the episode names always confuse me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is chapter 5, episode 15, no, 13.
Okay.
And it is called The Jedi.
Okay, which is, again, I didn't know this before the episode came out, so it was pretty crazy for me. So we're talking about The Jedi episode today. And it was... I've heard a lot of mixed signals about it. Some people think it was lackluster. Other people loved it. A lot of people are confused because they have no idea what's going on. To the people who know about the lore and what's going on in the galaxy, it's amazing. But unfortunately, the people who don't have no idea what's going on. So let's just jump into it, I guess.
I'm in the lackluster camp on that opinion, but we'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah, so we get to this new planet. The start of the episode, I like how they're doing the episodes now, where we start off and then the Mandalorian gets there. So start of the episode, we get to see Ahsoka Tano, which is pretty crazy. Just kind of like... Yeah, which is like, we knew it was going to come. This is what really bothers me. One of the things I'm seeing online is people upset that they're like, why is she even there? What's the point? But we knew it had to be her. She had to be the Jedi. We heard about her in the previous episodes. We knew it was going to happen. Boom.
Like Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, they don't name drop a character saying, hey, you should go meet this person and not have them be in an entire episode, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. So we named up Ahsoka. All of a sudden she's there. And it's like this weird, like, Predator-esque thing where you don't see her at first and you just see like people running through like the trees and you get a real like hunter versus the hunted prey, you know, feeling about it because you don't see her. And then you get to see the lightsabers, which are her original white lightsabers, which you get if you didn't watch Clone Wars and Rebels. You don't know why. It's because she's technically not a Jedi anymore.
Womp womp.
Yeah, she's a gray knight or a white Jedi, and they are basically neither Jedi nor Sith. But they are Force users who use lightsabers, so she has white lightsabers because she's not a Jedi.
Ooh, but everyone assumes she is because...
she got lightsabers in the Force. So,
and she's not Force choking or Force lightning anybody. So.
Yes, yet. As of yet.
Yet, she cannot be Sith if that's the case.
it's been pretty cool. I like seeing how they portrayed it. You get to see, like, it wasn't like a super... you know, theatrical Star Wars battle, but you got to see her like cut a piece of a tree off and throw it at a guy. Like you got to see, and she cut through a tree and killed somebody. Like you get to see some really cool shots.
Mm-hmm. It was very Predator-esque.
It was. And the fact that she's killing these people, like
she's not like sparing them and she's not knocking them unconscious. She is like full blown, get out of my way or else you're going to get cut in half.
Literally. And then you get to meet like this this kind of like weird bodyguard. And you get to see this I guess the mayor, if you want to call
it. The magistrate is what they called her.
Okay.
Yes.
So you define the magistrate of the town. We're not entirely sure if it's magistrate of the planet or not. Usually magistrates for like a large area, but this is just some kind of like dinky little town. So you find the magistrate, and we have no idea who she is at all. We've never run into her before. So we find the magistrate, and we find his bodyguard, and then Mando shows up. Mando shows up, and he wants to basically find this Jedi. But, he's planet safe. He sees, like, you know, people are kind of off-putting. All the citizens are a little skittish. It looks very, like, I want to say, like, work campish. It looks like they're all, like, indentured.
It's I see it more, yeah, because so it's almost like a prisoners of war kind of situation.
Yeah.
Considering they still have residences and they still have jobs, they're just living in fear. And even as they approach the magistrate citadel, the little focal point of the city, you see quite a few people locked up in cages and they're pleading for help. And that's one thing I was looking at. I was just like, why is this man being shocked? It's not like he's trying to get away. Because you see them in like these electrical cages, but I guess it doesn't overly matter when you're, the overseer of this kind of a town. Your rules are law, so it's whatever.
Just want to zap people.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire time, it's Ahsoka trying to get into the magistrate and question these people. because they know something she wants to know. So at the start of the episode, I started thinking like, oh, they know about Jedis. They know about, like, you know, another temple. They're going to find people, like, they know about this. And yeah, no. So we have Shaki cages, which is very much like I felt like medieval times. Like, it felt like it was like a,
yeah, like a
barbarian camp. And these
for sure. Medieval like stockades where they would hold you. Like, honestly, even the 1700s, they had big stockades in, like, you know, France, Germany, like stuff like that. Gibbets. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we get Mando's there, and we have him, like, talk to some people, and this nice old man's like, please don't talk to us. We're going to get in trouble. And then he meets with the magistrate, and she just wants him to kill Ahsoka. That's the whole thing. And what does she offer him but an entire spear of Beskar?
Which is really good.
Yeah.
We want more Beskar weapons that we can't find our smith to forge with.
Yeah, maybe he just melted down somewhere.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's definitely worth quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. And the crazy thing is, like, if you look at the old Mandalorians in the comics, and when they fought the Jedis, they used Beskar weapons because the Jedi couldn't cut through it. So really cool. And it's this whole thing of, you know, if we look back at the very first episode where the Mandalorian is introduced to his first little plate of Beskar, and the Imperial officer says, like, you know, Beskar should be in the hands of the Mandalorians. This is kind of the same idea. Mm-hmm. We move from that. They're trying to play on their greed, basically. They're trying to say, like, hey, you want some Beskar? Do my job for me. So he goes out to look for Ahsoka in the pretense of hunting her, but he's actually just going to look for her anyways. Finds her. It's this kind of whole thing where she's trying to kill him at the start. Kind of like she hits him with his lightsaber and his Beskar blocks it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really cool. I like the noise the Beskar makes when it gets hit by a lightsaber. It's a really cool little thing.
It's not so different than being someone hitting a gong. It almost has that similar kind of a sound, but definitely, it's just a little bit lower.
Yeah. So then you have Ahsoka and, you know, the Mando kind of like, hey, we're cool, we're chill. Like, I'm bringing you somebody else.
It's cool, it's chill. I'm a Dadalorian. It's cool.
Yeah, like, I'm here for my son.
Yes.
We're bringing him to Dad Space Camp. And then all of a sudden we meet. Technically meet for the first time our newly named Grogu.
Mm-hmm. Baby Yoda's got a name.
Interesting name, yeah. Grogu, and it's this very good segment where, like, Ahsoka sits down with him and they're like talking through the Force, and it's very, you know, very cool. And then she says Grogu, and she says his name, and he's like, "Whoa, who?" It's very cute.
Yes.
All the stuff with Baby Yoda in this episode has been amazing, in my opinion.
I'm just gonna say I've been loving Baby Yoda Grogu's character development throughout this season. We've seen it grow considerably as we've gone along.
Yeah. And now we have a name. And whenever they say Grogu, he's all like,
eh?
Hey, that's my name.
Easily the best part of the episode.
Honestly, yeah. So then we get to hear his backstory and how he got there. So he was originally a Padawan at the Jedi Temple during the fall of Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
His master spirited him away to another planet to save him. We don't know where he went.
We also don't know his master.
Yeah, we don't know his master is. Again, like Evan and I were talking, we think, you know, could be Yoda. It makes sense if Yoda.
Like, who else could it have been? They're the same species. Apparently, they're the only three of their kind, if you're including Yaddle. So,
oh, I hate Yaddle.
There's like, who else could it have been?
Exactly. Like, okay, so maybe it could have been another Jedi, but then, like, you can't just say, like, oh, his master, like, you know, saved him. Who was his master? Like, you can't be some, like, we're getting how they did with Rey the first time, where, like, your parents were nobody. It's like, well, they have to be somebody.
Well, that's also Rian Johnson being like, your parents were nobody, so we're just gonna throw that to the wayside.
So we get to find find out that he's repressed all of his powers. He's repressed the Force. He's kind of like fallen in on himself. Kind of a very sad situation when you think about it. He's trying to hide. He didn't do a very good job of that. Hiding in a, when we first find him, he's hiding in a bandit camp in a baby tube. And it's really cool because we get to see, like, Ahsoka, you know, trying, like, hey, maybe I can train him. Let's see what happens. And doesn't really do much. Like, he can force pull. We saw that with the cookies. We saw that. We know he can force choke, but I think, like, technically anybody can force choke.
I think that sensation that Ahsoka feels is kind of why she says what she says.
Yes, because we find out that he's had a strong attachment to the Mandalorian. We find, like, this, and again, to be a Jedi, you have to have no attachments. You can't have a sense of family. You can't have, like, you have to just push away all your relatives and just be – be a Jedi. And unfortunately for Grogu, he's already had so much trauma in his life that he can't go back to being a Jedi. What I wish they would have done is originally Ahsoka says that she can't train him. And I wish that she had told Mando that she isn't a Jedi and that's why she can't train him. But instead she just doesn't say that. And she's like, oh, I can't train him. He's too repressed. Or he's got attachment to you. You're his daddy.
I feel like she wanted to save Mando the lecture.
I hope so. But then we get to see this whole interaction where they start formulating a plan and they're trying to figure out what's going on. We also have this, before any of the plans formulate, we have this cute segment where when Grogu and Ahsoka are communicating, Mandalorian keeps walking, he's pacing back and forth.
Almost like a concerned dad.
Yeah, literally. So he's very concerned for his son. And then we finally get this plan. Okay, how are we going to get into the Magistrate so we can, figure out this, because that's what Ahsoka says. I'll train him or try to train him if you can help me take down the Magistrate. Cool. Deal for a deal. That's basically how the Mandalorians work. At least this one does.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So we have Ahsoka show back up and throw the Baskar plate with his signet on it. I guess she throws. Does she throw it?
Yeah. She kind of tosses it. Well,
yeah. Does she keep it with her when she first gets it? Does she throw it?
So the way that it goes down is she walks up to the gates of the city. Mm-hmm. And of course they see her and there's shoot on sight. She's not dead. She leaps up into part of the wall, takes out four guards, cuts the bell in half, kicks it to the ground. Then when she jumps into the town center, she then throws the pauldron with the mudhorn symbol on the ground,
which is so cool. Just the whole segment.
Just that entire scene was just so well done.
Yeah, and it's really cool because, true to form, one of Ahsoka's lightsabers is shorter than the other one, and it has been since the Clone Wars.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's sick.
It's really cool. Just different hilts and different ways the beams are constructed. But then we get to see this whole fight sequence where she's taking on people, and then we see our bounty hunter bodyguard guy who we don't really know who he is, but he looked like he had a Baskar plate on his arm. It looked like Baskar, but I don't think it was. But we see him and these two droids. Very cool, not Magna droids, but
they kind of did look like Magna droids, though.
They did. I thought they would be really cool because one of them was holding the spear originally, and then they just didn't. So they go off hunting through the city, and Ahsoka's running through, taking people out. We have our Mandalorian jet in and shoot one of the. I guess he shoots both of them. He shoots both the droids. Oh no! Ahsoka kills one, and then he shoots the other one.
Yeah, there's a lot that happens. He goes down, he frees a couple of the villagers.
Yes.
And then they have this really cool Mexican standoff between him and the bounty hunter, while Ahsoka is fighting everyone else. And they have this interesting conversation of who's going to win the fight. By this point, Ahsoka has finished off whatever cronies have been in and around the city, and she's made her way into the central citadel against the Magistrate. And they can hear lightsaber versus Baskar as they clash together. And they're having this conversation, Mando and the bodyguard. I guess we'll call him the number one. It's very interesting, who wins, good versus evil? Is your side or my side? And as he's doing this, he's stepping forward. It's very cathartic, I guess.
Yeah, it feels like an Old West movie. It feels like and then he says okay, well, all of a sudden the fighting stops, and we're going to talk about the fighting in a second, because it's weird because two things are going on at once. The fight scene's going on in there, and then they're out here talking. So it's very kind of jittery back and forth. So also the sounds stop, and he's like, oh, guess your side won. And then he puts his gun down and goes to walk away. And then he goes to pull out a blaster. Actually, he puts the gun down, goes to pull a blaster. Mando just shoots him, of course. What was the odds? What did you think was going to happen?
Straight out of Indiana Jones. He's talking. Literally. He's putting on a show.
Actually, the droid climbs over the roof with his gun. And then Mando shoots him, too. And that's okay, good job, guys. You guys are the pride of, this organization. So then we go back to the fight scene, which is previous, but at the same time happening. And we have this very interesting fight scene between Ahsoka and the Magistrate, who's using a Baskar spear, who she looks very similar to the monk from Rogue One, he was blind, but he had connection with the Force, and he used a staff. I'm not sure if there's any relation, but there could be.
Could be.
Could be. And that's very, what bothered me with the whole fight scene is Ahsoka's been on her own. She's beat Darth Maul. If you've watched the end, the like the very last season of Clone Wars, she beat Darth Maul. She's fought Darth Vader. She's not won against Darth Vader, but she's survived Darth Vader.
Honestly, that's more achievable than most.
Yeah, like Maul was the first Sith to kill a Jedi in thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Darth Vader was the most powerful Sith Lord at the time, aside from Palpatine, but like Palpatine didn't do much. She survived encounters with both of them while she's fought Grievous. She's fought Asajj Ventress. She's fought all these other Siths and non-Siths and people, and she's done all this. And then she's fighting this lady with a spear, and she's having a really hard time with it.
Yeah, and that's where my grievance with the episode comes in. You have Ahsoka, who is fully trained as a Jedi, even if she's not one anymore. She still has the training. She knows the ways of the Force. She's very skilled in duels, and she is losing. I'm like, I will say, she's straight up losing to this person, to the magistrate, who's just got a Beskar spear.
Yeah, and
that's frustrating to me.
Yeah, like if you look at any of the Force users, she's not the Force. Like it doesn't show she has the Force. Like a Force push would have knocked her down. Like it's kind of ceremonial, where it's kind of like, okay, we're gonna do this the right way. But at the same time, if I'm a Force user, I'm pushing you to the ground, taking the spear, and you're gonna tell me the information I want here. Mm-hmm. That's what it should have been. But it was very lackluster. She loses a lightsaber. She calls it back. It was meh. You see the magistrate feeding Koi, space Koi, which is kind of cool. That was it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it was just super disappointing considering we've seen so many really great lightsaber battles and so many well choreographed fight scenes in the past. So just to see this kind of, it was really disappointing.
It gave you a very sense of samurai at the time.
Yeah.
You're on like a bridge with water. There's koi. You've seen the fish. The way like the trees in the background seem very like Japanese. They're kind of, you know, moving through the motions. It felt like very scripted, of course, but it felt like a tradition, which I also didn't like. But who knows? People out there liked it. That's fine. I'm not going to tell them not to like it. But then we get to finally, like, you know, the magistrate and Ahsoka wins, and the magistrate gets to cop up some information that Ahsoka wants, and she says the best line in the entire show so far to date, and she says, "Where is your master? Where is Grand Admiral Thrawn?" And if you don't know who Thrawn is, this makes no sense to you, and you're kind of like, right. "Oh, great!"
That's right. I have no idea who this character is. I'm like, "Oh, a name."
Basically, let's get to Thrawn. Okay, so I thought she was going to ask for Gideon. I thought she was going to ask where Grand Moff Gideon was, but now it's Thrawn. So Thrawn is part of a species called the Chiss. The Chiss Ascendancy is basically the counterpart to the Empire, but in a different galaxy.
Oh,
so in the unknown regions, which is past the Outer Rim, that's where the Chiss are. They basically do their own thing. Grand Admiral Thrawn, who wasn't an admiral or wasn't even like part of this, is part of the Chiss Ascendancy. In the books, he basically did things very different, and the Chiss didn't like it because he was very dangerous to their way of life, because they think that they should only protect themselves, and he thinks you should protect everybody and make sure everyone can properly thrive, and he wants to kind of like build an empire, but also he has the betterment of the Chiss at the time. So he goes to the Empire. He shows up on a planet. He crashes on, I think, like a forest planet. He basically incapacitates an entire like force of stormtroopers, gets onto a Star Destroyer, infiltrates a Star Destroyer, meets the Emperor. The Emperor's like, "I could kill you." He's like, "Do it, man. I dare you." He's like, "Okay, I won't kill you." And he goes, "I'm not, like, I just want to," basically Thrawn says, "I want to learn from you guys to see how we can survive in the unknown regions. And I want to have the ability to use the power I can get here and maybe help me back home." Cool. He has this whole thing with Darth Vader, because Thrawn and Darth Vader have met each other before when Darth Vader was Anakin. It's very confusing. Thrawn becomes an admiral, like Grand Admiral Gideon. And then there's also Grand Moff Tarkin, who was on the Death Star when it blew up. So Thrawn's huge. He's huge. He's been through everything, basically. He was in the Clone Wars. He's in Rebels. You meet him in Rebels. So if you've seen Rebels, you know who Thrawn is. He and Ezra Bridger, who's another Jedi, by the way, went to the unknown regions together in the end of Rebels, supposedly. I've never seen the end of Rebels, but that's what I read. So Thrawn's in the unknown regions. We don't know why Ahsoka wants him. Maybe she thinks that he kidnapped Ezra. But Thrawn does things very much for... Thrawn is probably one of the most intelligent characters in the entire Star Wars series. Like, there is no one who's more smart or more intelligent than Thrawn. He's one of my favorite personal characters. And he's just like... Every step he takes is calculated for a reason. So hopefully we get to see him. I read an article saying that Timothy Zahn, who writes the books about Thrawn, didn't even know Thrawn was going to be an episode. He wasn't consulted about it. Again, he doesn't own Thrawn. He doesn't own the rights to Thrawn. He owns the rights to write the books about Thrawn. But he had no clue. He says that, you know, Dave Filoni, you know, if he drops a name like that, we know it's going to be good. We know it's going to be really good, and he hopes for the best. He's basically said, like, nothing bad can come from this, only betterment. So that's Thrawn. He's blue. He has red eyes.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
Blue. All the Chiss have blue. All the Chiss are blue and have red eyes. That's a kind of characteristic I guess I should mention. Very smart and very cool. So hopefully he's going to come back and fight Gideon. At the same time, though, so Gideon stayed in the Outer Rim to build the Empire Part 2. The other members of the Empire that fled to the unknown regions are building the First Order? They're building the First Order.
So the First Order is 5, 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
Yeah. So the First Order is currently outside of the known space in the unknown regions. They're being built there. We also have Palpatine Sith Army somewhere in the unknown regions being built as well. And then we also have the Empire's Remnants building another Empire Part 3. So there are three different like pieces moving on the board here. And Thrawn is going to the unknown regions, maybe to deal with the First Order, maybe to deal with Palpatine. Like, we don't know why he's there, but it's tying things together again. They're really making The Mandalorian connect to the movies, which was always a fear for us watching. And they're doing a really good job about it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's still a touch of more information near the end of the Mandalorian episode.
I forgot about that.
I know. Ahead. Everything went from Thrawn and Eldon was like, woo! Thrawn's good, yeah. I like Thrawn. So, at the end of the episode, the deal is done. So, Ahsoka has dealt with the Magistrate. Mando has helped basically... what's the word I'm looking for? They saved the city.
Free it, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, sure, free it. Yeah. I was thinking of another word, but it's not coming to me at the moment. Yeah. Liberate. That's actually the word. There we go. But yeah, so they help liberate the city, and they go back to the ship, and Ahsoka tells him, I can't train him. He's too attached to you. And this kind of alludes to your saying of, she can't train him because she's not a Jedi. And she kind of points him in the correct direction. She says to take Grogu and go to Tython. Tython is huge. That's a big name for people who longtime fans. And hopefully they could find another Jedi that has survived, which there are actually quite a few out there.
Yeah, it's funny. You think after the Purge, there'd be a lot less Jedi. But if you've ever played... I was going to say Force of... No, what's the name again?
The newest game?
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order.
Yes, Fallen Order. Okay, I was going to say Force Awakens. I'm like, no, that's a movie. I was going to say Force Unleashed. And I was like, nope, that's not canon.
Nope, we're trying.
We're trying. We got it. Fallen Order, which is, I think, Evan, that's your favorite Jedi? One of your favorite Jedi?
I love Cal Kestis so much. He is easily my favorite Jedi Padawan. He's a Padawan in the game. He's just got so much character. He's like a younger Luke. Before Luke was a thing, and it's so cool. Well, before Luke was a thing in timeline sense.
Exactly, yeah.
Basically, the story of Fallen Order is it takes place 5 years after Order 66, and what Cal does is he goes trying to discover what happened to the Jedi and who's still around, and he discovers that there's a holocron with Jedi children, or children with high midichlorian counts, in some log that is on Tython. So he, throughout the series of the game, you go to different planets, and eventually you return back to Tython with the information of all the kids with the high midichlorian count. So the only unfortunate thing is the game is not canon. It's not.
This might tie it in.
This might tie it in. I would love for it to tie it in.
Because like the things that happen in Force Awakens, obviously Force Awakens on Fallen Order, they wouldn't ruin things if it was canon. So we're gonna hope that this ties it in, because Cal Kestis, Ezra Bridger, they're really cool Jedis who are currently alive at this time. I think Kanan Jarrus, who is Ezra's master, is dead. I'm not entirely sure. He's blind, so that's an issue. But he may be alive, maybe not. I don't think having, you know, Kanan be the master for Grogu to really be a big thing, but you know, Cal Kestis would be like 40 now, around there. Like he'd be
pushing 40. He'd be probably somewhere in his late 30s.
Yeah. So we got like a Obi-Wan Kenobi esque thing here, where he's going to be able to train, you know, Grogu, hopefully. And this might tie things in. It'd be sweet if it did. I don't want them to make the series just about Jedi.
I don't want to switch the focus, because it's called The Mandalorian. It's not The Next Jedi, who trained Goku.
And like, again, it's staying true to form. This episode was one of the first episodes I find where we didn't have very much action from Mandalorian. It was more based on Grogu. But I feel like at the same time, Grogu, who was previously Baby Yoda, and the Mandalorian are so entwined with each other that like every episode has to have them both.
Yes, I agree.
And the nice thing is, with having them both there, it makes it so things happen. You know, so we have not a lot of Mandalorian. We have Grogu, sweet. But I feel like Mandalorian and Grogu are one and the same now, almost. So they are very together.
Very. Yeah. So that stick on you kind of situation.
Yeah, like a Band-Aid.
Or a leech.
Sure, that one works too, I guess. I think Band-Aid's better. But.
No, Band-Aids work, but Band-Aids, Anyways, there's so much that happens. There's so much theory crafting that we could do for the next few episodes. I know that because this is episode 5 or chapter 5, there's only 3 more episodes in the season, which is so upsetting. It feels like we just got started. And I know that the last episode is directed by Jon Favreau. So
fantastic.
There's going to be so much happening. It's going to be so exciting. I want to see if Grogu gets taken away from Mando to go and train as a Jedi. And I want to see if there's maybe some time in between that and we get to see a more adolescent Grogu.
That'd be cool.
Which would be amazing. That would be so cool. There's also so much art and so much more theory crafting happening online for the internet. Yeah. There's so many pictures of an older Grogu mourning the loss of the Mandalorian because he is an adolescent and he doesn't live as long as Grogu.
I've seen one or two of those. There's a lot that could happen. Again, we still need to see Boba Fett.
Yep.
We still need to see what Gideon was doing with that armor.
Yeah, that's right.
We still need to see Thrawn now, or even mention it again. We don't know where Ahsoka's going. So we still have to go to this new planet. So we have 5 big things that have to happen in 3 episodes. So if we have a time skip, sweet. But I feel like a time skip is going to deal more damage.
It's hard to say. Maybe this is the season where the Mandalorian fails in helping, and he needs some time to recover. Honestly, I love redemption stories. I think that would be amazing. So it's hard to say where it's all going. I'm just happy we got Ahsoka finally.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I think with that we've talked about everything we could just sit here and just say what if.
We could sit here for so long just saying what if, what would happen. Oh my God, I just thought of this, you know.
Yeah.
But that's it. We'll see you guys next week. We're releasing this today, Thursday, which means our next episode's tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait. 3 a.m. It comes out 3 a.m. Oh, I hit my water bottle. 3 a.m.
Okay,
we looked it up. 3 a.m. Comes out at 3 a.m.
After several weeks of trial and error, we finally narrowed it down. 3 a.m. Friday morning.
Perfect. So check it out. I guess actually, what time is it now? It's 1 or 2? Almost 12. 13 hours. You get it. 13 hours. And tours.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm going to say goodbye for me, Eld Napkin.
Take care. We'll see you guys next week when we have another Mandalorian review.
Woo! See you guys.